Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today's show is titled Beyond Emotions, Difficult People. This is part two. And if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, I did part one that was just plain Beyond Emotions, and I covered a bunch of stuff that should have helped us a little bit. And like I said, I am not the teacher on my shows. This is things that God is dealing with me about, and I just share with you what he's dealing with me about and what I've learned. And I try to, you know, share with you what he shared with me or how he, the direction he's taken me. He has taken me in this beyond emotions realm because I'm one of those type of people. I like a simple. I like to keep it easy breezy. I don't like tussle and bustle. I'm not like, go hard or go home. Like, I'm not that girl. I'm just real simple and kind of laid back. So when I'm dealing with resistance, I'll kind of just kind of tap out like, oh, deuces, and drop it right then and there. And working for God, you cannot do that. You got to stay the course beyond emotions no matter what. Stay on the road, call straight, do exactly what he tells you to do. It's not about me. Die to self and do what he told me to do. And that's kind of difficult because that's not even who I am. So I'm like, God, you're real hilarious because you don't even get down like this. And now you want me to have to push beyond my emotions. And I see why he's bringing me in this direction. It's about having self-control. And I think we covered that last show. If we didn't, we're definitely going to be covering self-control this definitely this show. Everything in this world is about having self-control. Those that know me, and I like Facebook because I'm actually Facebook friends with people I even went to junior high school. So those that know me, including my family members, I was a little, I reacted before I thought, and I got myself in a lot of trouble at times having, lack of self-control. I definitely did not have control. And I was the type of person that I would react and then have to backpedal out of the mess I got myself into because of my temper. My temper was so bad. And thank you, Jesus. He's dealt with me a lot with that. I mean, it's almost to the point where the fire's out. Like, that's how great of a handle. I'm not going to say me have. I'm going to say he's got, like, I find myself, what he's did with me is he put a sensor right here on the right side of my head. I know when the right side of my head gets hot, that means back out of whatever it is. Red alert, red alert, red alert. Back up. Go. Get away. Don't respond. Don't react. Don't do nothing. Get away. So that's what he did with me because my temper was so bad. I mean, thinking about my temper scares me. Like, imagine being afraid of yourself. Like, I used to be afraid of myself. That's bad. If you're scared of yourself, you've got a bad temper. And having a bad temper with no self-control, it's like World War VII. You're like a walking World War VII, and that's what I was. And thank you, Jesus, that now he's carried me in the direction where he's got me. I'll get warm before things even start happening. That's difficult, and that's normally how I respond to. I'm kind of dead to self right now in this walk. So it's so much easier when God's the avenger because there's going to be things that come up that needs wrath, and they don't need Shamika's wrath. They need God's wrath, and he just, I put it like this, I see where I get the temper from because God don't have no chill sometimes, but he likes to do it, not me. He doesn't want me getting in the way and getting in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble. He don't get in trouble. So I kind of like this new walk where I'm sitting back like, what you going to do about that? And he does, and I'm like, oh, you crazy, God, you crazy. Well, we just kind of go back and forth, and I can step back and go, what you going to do? What you going to do? And immediately, it's like he just, you know, he's super sensitive when it comes to me. And part of that is she's doing what I told her to do, so I have to back her up. I have to back her up. She's doing what I told her. And I'm so glad that it's like that. You want to see results from the things that you do. You want to see results from the obedience, you know, because it's a lot to walk on the road called straight. It's a difficult road. It's the unknown road. And but once you get on and you start seeing that flashlight up ahead, and then you kind of walk in and you get a little more light, and all of a sudden it's well lit. And all of a sudden you got traffic lights, and you got street lights and stop lights, and I'm like, okay, I can trust this road. This road is good. You know, it's just difficult when you first get on it, but then when you're on it and you're walking through, you're like, okay, I could do this. You walking with me, so I'm good. And it is so much easier. I mean, he wasn't kidding when he said his yoke is easy. It most definitely is easy. I mean, it's a lot to lash out on people, and everything is a cow and everything is a mountain. And now, you know, the laid-back person I am, still walk this walk and still be me. I just look back and be like, you want it? Okay, let me tap out now because you want it. And he knows, and like I said, he's put the sensor on me. And not only the sensor, I get visions, I get dreams, I get prophecy, I get revelation, everything that I need to stay in offensive mode. I'm the type of person, I got to stay in offensive mode. You don't want me in defensive mode because that's been my problem. Defensive mode means it's already come upon me and I got to defend myself and fight myself out of the state. That's uncomfortable for me. But when I'm in offensive mode, I'm armored up, prayed up. I've commanded my morning for that day. I already know what's going to happen in those 24 hours. And even if I don't know every single detail, I know enough that I'm not going to react. And that's a beautiful place to reach. Those of you that do struggle with temper, you want to ask God. I don't know if you take anger management or whatever it is you do carnally, you know, add in spiritually, you know, handling, God help you handle your temper. He can do it. Who can do it better than God? He's your maker. He's your maker. I mean, he's not going to sissy by you or herb you. He's going to say, you could still be spitfire without getting yourself in trouble. Okay? He needs us to both be lion and lamb, and it does matter, and it does make a difference so the enemy can know what turf they're on. But at the same time, you don't want to be getting in trouble, and it's a big, big difference between responding and reacting, and we need to learn that difference. And we don't want to be out of control. God says, be slow to anger. Like, remember all those words? Let me be the avenger. Like, all those words that he says in the scripture is designed to get us to have self-control at all times, no matter what's going on. Don't react. Go to him. Go to him all the time. Right there. Boom, boom. Right there. Holy Spirit. Holy. Are you here? You getting this? Yep. Okay. What do we do? Like, always right there, like a good homeboy, a bodyguard, you know what I mean? Imagine walking with the best bodyguard in the world, and anybody that even said anything about you, boom, they're already on it. So what do you need to say? You need to say nothing. You just keep walking and doing, right? It's really an amazing spot to be in. Anyway. Part of going beyond emotion is, this is hard, but it's learning how to deal with difficult people when you're actually spitfire yourself. That's hard, right? Yeah. So that's what we're going to cover today, is learning how to deal with difficult people. And the moment we do that, that's when everything just kind of opens up. I'm sorry, I just got a couple of things I just wanted to. Okay. Before, did I do an intro? No. I'm Shamika Tia. I'm 43 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm the mother of one male child. And I'm studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me, okay?
I'm not going to do the traditional I know I usually always read a lot of scriptures and all that. For this particular show, it's just going to be a lot of talking. And I'll use scripture reference at times, but for the most part, it's just going to be a lot of just talking and talking. And about letting you know what he's doing with me, kind of like what I just did already. So I'm not going to read, I still have to say I'm not going to read the seven rules regarding prophecy because I don't think they apply to this show. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let me close this up. Okay, so with the first show, as I said before, we covered Beyond Emotions. And I'll do a quick recap. I gave you the definition of beyond. It's at or to the further side of, the far side of, further away, yonder, hereafter, over, continuing after, a degree or amount surpassing, outside the normal scope, outside the scope of ordinary experience. And then beyond the place the mind can't, okay? Also, it's a noun. We're talking about the word beyond. And I covered that it's dealing with after death. After you die to self, what comes after? You have to die to self to go beyond, seeing past something, besides, at a greater distance, and out of the comprehension of is all describing the word beyond. Okay? So I went to the Strong Concordance and covered the definition in the Strong Concordance, which you always want to do. You always want to hear what the scriptures have to say about the definition of a word. It's total different from the Webster Dictionary's definition and the Strong Concordance. And then the Strong Concordance had across, a region beyond, beyond this side, on behalf of, for the sake of, to the extent, to go beyond the present situation, for the betterment, improvement, above, exceed, more than, super, extension, advantage, way over, exceeding, superior, head over all things, and lastly, in excess of measure. How amazing is those definitions of the word beyond? And then we also covered emotions, passion, a natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, relationship with other, feelings, sentiment, intuition, reasoning, knowledge, gut, disturbance, excitement, aspect of consciousness, a conscious mental reaction. I went to the Strong Concordance, and guess what it called emotions? The heart. That's amazing. I'm like, oh, okay. So what God was saying was go beyond your heart, go beyond your mind, go beyond your eyes, go beyond your ears, go beyond your senses of smell and taste. Go, can I take you beyond is what he was saying to me. Beyond you, surpassing you, this is where we're headed. Also, a few more definitions of emotions in the Strong Concordance was restraint, desire, a measure of one's passion, exercise forbearance, a feeling in which the mind suffers, affection of the mind, inordinate affection, and lastly, the inward parts. Inward affection. So God was saying no matter what you're feeling like inside, don't let that have anything to do with the direction I'm taking you. I need you to go beyond your own emotions. And I was glad that he's opened up this conversation for me because I needed to be told that. Like I said, I'm the type of person where if something comes and kind of ruffles my feathers, I'll step back and be like, you know what, I'm good. I don't need that. I don't need this. And I'll kind of tap out and bow out. And God is like, mm-mm, not when you're working for me. I need you to go beyond what you're feeling, what you're thinking, how you're feeling inside, your emotions. I also covered, I'm still doing a recap, I also covered that man is three parts. Y'all know that, we body, spirit, and soul. And the soul is handled in emotions is handled in the soul realm. Those that have done followed my show a few times, y'all know that the Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that covers the soul and the emotions and feelings, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that has to do with the soul, which the mind is there, emotions, the Holy Spirit covers that section, right? Jesus covered the body on the cross. God is covering our spirits. The Holy Spirit covers our soul. We need to be very, very mindful of that because that should help us when we pray, okay? That should help us direct our prayers more correctly, okay? I covered emotions as the form of connection between all elements of ourselves and all aspects of our lives, both inner and outer. We also covered the five natural emotions of our soul. They are anger, envy, fear, love, and grief. And we went past that. We went into Genesis 35, and we covered Jacob experiencing all the five natural emotions at once during the same situation and him still pressing forward and God leading him beyond his emotions to triumph. Okay, it's no secret that he's called the God of Jacob. He's called the God of Jacob for a reason. These are dudes that pressed on beyond their emotions and got results and did the darn thing that God wanted them to do. We covered steps to go beyond emotions. The first step was arise, and I used the scriptures to do that. Arise means get up right where you at. Arise means right at the state of self-destructing, get up. The second step was go. Head out where he sends you. Go and do what he says. The third step was dwell. Get situated. Where is the goal? God will send you somewhere, and it's not to be flip-floppy and flaky. It's to dwell where he sends you. And he'll let you know the season of when to get up and leave. I'm just saying. Dwell. Four, make do. That means whatever he tells you, that's not the time to be acting bourgeoisie. Make do. You're there for a purpose to get the job done. Make do with whatever the situation is. He will show you what to reflect back on. He'll give you a lot of not looking back and all this other stuff. Look forward. Don't look at the present. Like I said, going beyond your emotions is going to be beyond your eyesight. So it's going to be some tricky situations when you are trying to press forward and go beyond your emotions. Keep that and at the forefront of your mind. The step five was to get rid of baggage. Baggage can mean evil things, cutting off evil people, putting away the strange God, removing it from the property, removing addiction, like whatever your baggage is. Your baggage may be just people, or your baggage may be drama. Like some people just thrive off of drama. Gossip, and like whatever your baggage is, all our baggage is different. Some people's baggage is addiction. Some people, like me, my baggage was my temper and emotions. I didn't have control over that. That was my baggage, so I was my own enemy. You know what I mean? Because I'm reacting to stuff, getting myself in trouble, changing the course of my direction in life when I was my own. So I was my own baggage, you know? I was just my own baggage, and God had to help me deal with that. I wrote down alcohol, cigarettes, sex, bad company, materialistic items, idols, etc. That's just to name a few. Whatever your baggage is, you want to start dealing with your baggage. When you're trying to go beyond emotions, you may have to unload some things, okay? I definitely had to. And actually, that's one of the requirements to following God is, are you ready to just drop everything and go? You're not going to be tied to things when God, when you arise and then you're getting up and going, you may have to leave everything back, including some people. I also wrote down you're going to have to be the instructor for those around you. Abraham had to do that. Jacob definitely had to do that. Sometimes you're a baggage emotional roller coaster. God calls you right where you are. And in all your baggage and in all your difficult situations you have to deal with, you're also instructed to leave the people that he tells you to. And a lot of us are forced at that point to be like, wait, whoa, how can I leave these people when I don't even know where the hell I'm going? That's the predicament you'll be in when you're going beyond your emotions. All of them were in that Moses was definitely in that predicament. Gideon was definitely, I mean, everybody that was called to follow God was all, Joseph was all in a situation where they didn't know what direction they were going in. They were emotional roller coasters. They had their own baggage and issues and stuff going on. And at the same time, they had to lead and instruct the people around them on what to do and where we're going. God said, pick up our bed and walk. Let's go. God said, get from amongst them. Let's go. God said, go on the land. Let's go. Like, you got to just, you don't need to know all the details. You just get up and go. It's going to be a step-by-step process. So that's difficult. The unknown and not knowing and not being able to see. Right? Is be clean. You're going to have to purify yourself and change your garments. That was down there. Clean up, dust yourself off, however you want to title it. Get it together. Whether it's going to therapy, rehab, anger management, getting on meds, I don't know, whatever yours is. Or it could just be going to church or tapping back in spirituality. Like, whatever yours is, do that. Anything that would help you hit the reset button and take yourself off of your own life, if that makes sense. Seven is protection. That follows obedience. You'll be protected in that. Know that going beyond your emotions is not something bad or putting yourself out there. It's I'm following God, you know? Protection follows obedience. Blessings follow obedience. A new name follows obedience, right? From Abram to Abraham, from Sarah to Sarah, from Jacob to Israel, et cetera, et cetera. And on that note, make sure you know the definition of your own birth name. I should say your good name, however you want to call it. Whatever your mama named you and it's on your birth certificate, make sure you know the definition of that name. Because if it's not a great definition or something good and positive, you may want to nickname yourself. If you want to go to the extent of doing a full legal changing your name, that's fine. But you want to make sure your name is not self-destructing in itself, because all you're doing is kind of staying in that hole, right? Make sure you know what your name means. And eight, beyond the ordinary duties on earth, okay? And that's a recap from part one. I think I covered Numbers 22, verse 18. Do not go beyond the word of the Lord. Do not go beyond the word of the Lord. When you're going beyond emotions, do not go beyond the word of God. Do not go beyond your prophecy, revelation, whatever confirmation. Do not go beyond that. Okay? Satan tried this with Jesus. Oh, do this and do that and do that. Satan tried to get Jesus to go beyond the word of God. Don't do that. Be very, very careful. Like I said, I think I covered Numbers 22:18. I used to put check marks when I had covered a page. I did not do that last show, unfortunately. That's a whole... Numbers chapter 22, verse 18, all the way down, is a whole example of somebody trying to go beyond the word of God. And that's why people think, oh, God doesn't answer prayers. No, your prayers is beyond the word of God. He said go beyond your emotions, not go beyond him, like Satan. Satan was kicked out of heaven because he tried to go beyond God. You don't go beyond me. I'm the boss. And Satan is like, oh, I could sit on that throne. I could. He wanted to be God. You don't go beyond God. Go beyond your emotions, but you don't go beyond God. Please be very, very careful in that. A lot of people that are highly spiritual, like voodoo, witchcraft, Santeria, opium, all that witchcraft type stuff and warlock type stuff is people that have gone beyond God. Okay? Saul tried to do that. Remember, they said after Saul wasn't hearing from Jesus, he started seeking out witches and all this other. Now you can't hear from God through the prophet Samuel. Now you want to start looking for witches. He went beyond God, and God talk about provoked to anger. do not provoke God to anger because you want to go beyond God. And especially now, these days, people are actually highlighting and glorifying voodoo to be, our ancestors did this, and oh, it's not nothing evil. You know, like I said, when you are an Israelite and you're a child of God, false doctrine should pollute your ears and make it hurt and make you not accept that. Unfortunately, you got the Ishmaelites agreeing to this voodoo, and it's mostly the Ishmaelites doing the voodoo, doing the witchcraft, because if you're a child of God, witchcraft and voodoo is beneath you. You don't want to go beyond God. You don't want to be it. That's how Eve took of the tree. She wanted to go beyond God. Satan said, has God said you should not eat of this tree? He just doesn't want you to be just like him. She went beyond God and killed off humanity, committed spiritual suicide, trying to go beyond God. Do not go beyond God. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Recognize that you may be leading the flock, but you are not the boss and you're not in charge. Okay? You are a laborer. Okay? All right. What else? Okay, then I think I might have or might not have not touched on anger. And there was scriptures, because remember there was five, what do they call them? Five natural elements. What's the right wording? Five natural emotions of our souls. The first one was anger. Second one, envy. 3, fear. 4, love. 5, grief. Anger, envy, fear, love, grief. I don't know if I touched on anger or not. If I did not, I apologize, but I think I did. And there was a scripture for that, Ephesians 4:26. The scripture says, be angry, but do not sin. And it also says, don't give Satan an opportunity. Okay? The minute we become angry, like I didn't understand, the minute I was so angry and a rage and my temper and everything is welled up in me and I'm hot, I'm giving the enemy opportunity in my life. Didn't even know it. Psalms 37:8, anger stirs up strife. Right? Psalm 37:8 says anger stirs up strife. Strife is bad in itself. You don't need something stirring it up. Anger is bad in itself, and you don't need to add strife to it. Do you see how these other emotions latch onto each other and cause a problem? Yes. Proverbs 29:22. Anger does not resolve sin. James 1:19. Be slow to anger. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not be quickly provoked. Do not be quickly provoked. I also wrote down on how to handle your anger, because you're going to need this in dealing with difficult people. Recognize your boundaries. Oh, my God. If you do not know what your boundaries are, you may want to sit down in silence and get some. I don't know. Before I get angry, what does that look like leading up to that? You know, is a perfect person talking down to me? Is a person yelling at me? Is the person cursing me out? Is the person hitting me? Took something from me? Like, whatever it is, write down what your boundaries are. Okay? All of our boundaries are different. I mean, I hate to say it, but cursing at me and yelling at me is not really a big deal to me. You know, I don't know if it's because I've always yelled and cursed and been in loud, rowdy environments growing up. I don't know, but for some reason I'm yelling and cursing and that riled up, that's not a boundary for me, you know, but that may be a boundary for somebody else. I forgot what I was watching. I was watching something. Oh, Jada Pickett and Will Smith. And they said something that Will said. They first got together. They was at an event, and Jada was in flip mode, and flipped out. And he said he had to pull it to the side and said, don't you ever yell at me again. And she said going on from that moment on that they never yell at each other, that they never raise a voice. That was strange as hell to me. I was like, what? You mean never? That's self-control for your behind, because I was a yeller, you know. I don't yell immediately. It takes a lot to get me yelling. And that's what I recognize in my boundary. Don't get me when you, if you've got me yelling, you bought that rob. So that's usually a boundary. If somebody's making you yell, that's because it's an exhausted situation. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be yelling, right? People yell when they're not being heard. So how to deal with anger? Recognize your boundaries. Recognize before you get to yelling. Don't wait till you start yelling and then want to taper down from that. You want to, when you got to say, keep repeating the same thing over again, you may want to address the repetition. For me, that was a boundary. If I say something I don't like, let's just say relationships, because it can't really be the same sex. If it's the same sex, you just don't call that person. I'm not your friend no more. Leave it alone. But usually when you're dealing with a difficult person, it's somebody that has to be around, whether it's a relative or maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's an in-law. When you this show is covering when you have to deal with the difficult person. Otherwise, you can move in deuces and be done with it.
You know, why tussle and bustle if you don't have to? But this show is covering when you have to deal with difficult people. Like, it's just inevitable. You are going to need to recognize your boundaries. My whole life, I didn't even know what that word was. I didn't even know there was such a word as boundaries. So bad I didn't. Because I could have avoided a lot of situations just knowing my boundaries. And thank God I became familiar with that term a few years ago, to the point where now, and like I said, even God gave me the sensor, but I don't want to wait till the sensor gets hot to start recognizing my boundaries. I'm leading up to the sensor. I already want to be addressing it leading up to the sensor. You know, I don't know why this keeps turning off. Right? So I also wrote down, in the anger aspect of it, forgive, repent, confess, mend, and rebuke. Forgive, repent, confess, mend, and rebuke is all the words you're going to need to be familiar with dealing with your anger. Right? Forgive, let me go, it ain't that serious. Oh, wow. I added all the way up into that too. Confess, what did I do? Mend, how can we make it better going forward? And rebuke, there's still going to be things to interfere with that relationship that's going to need to be on both sides of y'all rebuking whatever it is. Usually when two friends have separated or a couple has gotten back together, or let's say they were about to get a divorce and then they reconciled, you're going to have people in your ear. Children, I thought you said it was over. I thought, yeah, I did. I changed my mind. Like, don't be ready to rebuke whatever that is that keeps reminding you that there was a problem there. You're not going to be able to move forward if you're constantly reminded of the problem. And in some cases, in most cases, it may be that actual person that you've forgiven on, they've forgiven you, that keeps bringing that up. Let them know that is a boundary for you. Can we please not bring that up? We've moved past that, I thought. And recognize that if you can't move past it, you may have to tap out of that. If that person keeps bringing up something and you see, you know, we're going in circles, tap out. Again, of course, I'll pray on it. Everything I'm saying, God has a final say. Don't just quickly give up on people like people are disposable. I'm talking about boundaries, knowing your boundaries, and knowing when you need to step out of a situation, right? For those that may be on the line, if you have a question or comment at this stage, don't be afraid to press pound one, and I can see your question and comment and unmute your mic so you can talk. Okay?
Before we go into dealing with difficult people, we still haven't even gotten into dealing with a difficult person. We just did a quick recap, and I wanted to touch on anger first, because you are not going to be able to deal with difficult people if you have an anger issue. You are going to need to deal with the anger first. Solomon, Stacey Solomon Mentors, greeting. Greetings, brethren. JJ, hey. Sister Shamika, I love you and the work you do for God. Oh, thank you, Queen. I love you too. Stacey Solomon Men says, be encouraged, Sister Shamika. Thanks, brethren. I appreciate that. Isla Danos, Denois, excuse me, says, Dee, hey, girl, how you doing? We used to hang out back in the days. We had I had a great upbringing in my teens and 20s. Buck wild. Okay, good. No questions or comments. So now let's get in how to deal with difficult people. Remember, handle the anger first. You are not going to be able to deal with difficult people with an anger issue. Right? How do you deal with anger? Forgive, repent, confess, amend, and rebuke. Rebuke the ideas, rebuke the thoughts when they come. Then they will come.
There's no such thing as you getting on in a healthy relationship and the ideas and thoughts, you know what I mean? Oh, he's just going to do it again. Or she's just going to do it again. Oh, that's weird. You just forgave her like that for no reason? That was very big of you. Like, you're going to need to speak back to that. Bondage. Let's call it what it is. Bondage. If you are, have repented, forgave, confessed and all of that, and you're trying to move forward, and having those emotions come back, it's like looking back, and it's punishment behind looking back. Self-inflicted punishment. Okay? Don't look back at that bondage. Keep moving forward. Okay. Okay.
If you're single, you're going to need to get some boundaries. You're going to need to get some boundaries. And when you get that together with, you'll finally probably send your husband right at that point, or wife. You've got to get those boundaries in place. I'm not going to go cover envy and fear yet. Maybe we'll do another show on those separate topics. Those are so humongous. And I don't want to get distracted on this subject, dealing with difficult people. So now we can pick up with part two of dealing with, how to deal with difficult people. How to deal with difficult people. Step one, don't. That sounds weird, right?
Don't. It sounds like I just contradicted myself, right? I haven't. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Well, I kind of covered it anyway. It's not about you. It's not about you. We need to recognize that and understand that. It's not about us.
First thing you do when you recognize a difficult person, and sometimes you can spot them from a mile away. Sometimes it's just straight up eye contact. Sometimes it could be the way you feel around that person, whether it's a bad vibe or a negative vibe, but you still, let's just say it's,
I guess this is a telemarketer. Mm. Now I don't know how to get back to the Blog Talk. This might be it. Okay, I think I'm still on. Okay.
What was I saying? Oh, so on the road to dealing with difficult people, the first thing we need to have in place, the first thing that needs to be in place is praying for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that may sound so cliche, but it's not. You are going to need to pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in that thing. Let me tell you what praying for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding does. What it does, it actually makes you see the picture more clearly. Okay? Because there's been times where a misunderstanding is popping off. If you don't have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you're going to misinterpret that whole thing. Your perception is going to be way off. You're going to be like, oh, she said this rude. And no, she wasn't even talking to you. Or no, it wasn't even that serious. You know what I mean? Or no, she likes you a lot, and nah, it just came out that way, you know? The very first thing that needs to be in place is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and you must pray for these things if you don't have that gift. Some people have them. Some people have all three. Amen if you do. If you don't, you're going to need to pray for them. These are spiritual gifts, okay? The next thing you want to do is recognize the misunderstanding. When there's a misunderstanding, you don't really want to let it ride too long because it gets worse. So let's say you met one of your in-laws, and let's say on the meet and greet, you felt like the person's handshake was cold. And you know, a cold handshake is more like a, I don't want to touch your hand. I don't know where your hand's been. Like, you know, you don't feel that firm grip. It's more like a cold. Or you may even get a cold smirk. Oh, hey, we have another one. Like, you don't know what the family's going through when you come around. So let's say on introduction, let's say, okay, because a cousin don't hold no weight. Sometimes in a case of brothers and sisters don't really hold any weight. So let's say mother-in-law, father-in-law. Somebody that holds weight, and you feel like there's a problem here. You need to recognize the misunderstanding first. And this could be anything. This could be boss, coworker relationship, parent-child relationship. You know, I'm talking more of the in-depth relationships that you have to deal with. Recognize the misunderstanding. In other words, get to the root of my problem. Write down, if you're writing, my problem. In dealing with this difficult person and this misunderstanding, first, what's my problem? Okay? The minute you take your eyes off that person and look at yourself, that's where the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding comes from. What is my problem? My problem may be, am I being introduced too prematurely? Am I being judged? Like, you know, like, what's my problem? Am I judging her? You know, did I dress inappropriately? Like, and I'm just giving examples if it was an in-law. It could be anything. You have a problem in it. You have a problem in it. Sometimes you could be in a relationship prematurely, like that person ain't fully divorced yet, and all of a sudden they bringing you around, and now the family, oh, she with a married man. They don't even know. They're not even together. They ain't been together in years, but they judging you. So you have a problem in a case of a misunderstanding. You always have a role, and you always have a problem. You need to recognize that first, okay? And it could be just as simple as I'm just super sensitive, right? Maybe that's your problem. Am I super sensitive? Meaning this person didn't greet me cold at all. I was expecting to be greeted cold, and now I think I've been greeted cold. Am I a hypochondriac? Like, you know what I mean? What is your problem first? You need to recognize that first. What is your problem? That's why everybody needs to have a super cool person that they really trust and a person that they can tell them the truth. Because this is what a super cool friend would do. If you called and said, hey, guess what, girl? Oh, yeah, how did it go? Did you meet his mom? Yeah, I met his mom, but she greeted me cold. Cold like what? Like, what do you mean? I don't know. I put on my hand to shake her hand, and she didn't want to shake it. Now, here's what the super cool friend that has wisdom, this person should have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, walking all in their spirit daily. They'll be able to analyze, well, how did you hold your hand out? Was it, you know, maybe that person was expecting a hug, and maybe you putting your hand out made that person feel some type of way. Like, that super cool friend is going to be able to help you analyze what happened. Maybe make you see a different perspective, right? I can't tell you countless of times where I'm recognizing a misunderstanding, and then I bring it to someone else that I trust is super cool, bring it to their attention, and we kind of pondering and going back and forth and kicking and analyzing what we think happened, and then we come up with a whole new interpretation of how I first initially interpreted. Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, you know what he did say? She is having health issues, or he, you know what I mean? Where it could be, it wasn't even about you. It's about something else. So they was in pain. People that are in pain, especially when they're dealing with their physical body, it's hard for them to show face all the time and be on 10 and be in a meet and greet mood all the time. And here you are coming to the barbecue and you're thinking there's something wrong with you, thinking they don't like you, when it's like, no, girl, I just got out of dialysis before I came here like an hour ago. Like, you know what I mean? Is it about you? It's not about you. So that's what the super cool friend will make you see. Analyze the other details that you haven't factored in. Well, was he married before? Nah, he never been married. Okay, so they probably think you just wanted to jump off that he just brings around randomly. They probably thinking you're not even as serious with him. Like, that person, the super cool person, will help you analyze the situation before you start tripping. Tripping means before you start responding to what you think the difficult person is doing to you. Are they really doing it, or are you just tripping, right? Mm-hmm. I wrote in some bullet points for that alone. A, are they just like me? Ask yourself that. Is this difficult person just like me? B, are they just like someone I hate? It's a big one. Are they just like somebody I hate? Do we remind you of your ex? Remind you of this, your homegirl you don't mess with no more? Is that difficult person just like somebody you hate? And it's like a reflection type of thing? And C, why is there conflict? You need to ask yourself, why is there conflict? Did I do something? Did I fail to do something? Why is there conflict? So those are all things in the two. Three, this bearable. You have to ask yourself that. Is this bearable? A, and this is part of, is this bearable? Are we on the same team? Before you, when you ask yourself, is this, and when I say is this bearable, I mean, is dealing with this difficult person bearable for me? Meaning, are we on the same team? Are we on the same team? Because we wasn't called to reach out to devils. Keep that in mind, right? Jesus himself avoided what the scriptures call Asia and certain Pharisees and Sadducees and the whole Sodom and Gomorrah. God didn't deal with them. You've never seen God really dealing with Egyptians. They was just people God ain't mess with, right? I mean, scriptural. They was just people that God just ain't mess with. So ask yourself, is this difficult person bearable for me? Meaning, are we on the same team, right? Whether that's family, church, coworkers, boss, friends, is this person bearable for me? Meaning, can I handle this? Or is this going to get me in trouble? It's like a bad relationship, right? I'm going to put down husband. I don't know why I didn't put down husband and wife. That should have been numero uno, husband, wife. Is this person bearable? Because the last thing you want to do is be in an unbearable relationship too long and not recognizing the boundaries, not knowing when to fold, not knowing when to get out, not knowing when to tell that person, yo, I'm going to block you if you call me again. Ask yourself, is this bearable? Because God says, I don't give you more than you can bear. So if you feel like you're in an unbearable situation, you probably are. You probably are. Don't try to be God and guess which one is which. Oh, this is difficult. Oh, I'm out. This is unbearable. Nah, difficult is bearable, right? That's why the show is called Difficult People. It's not called Unbearable People. Your job is to ask God to check the identity badge before you deal with them any further. So in other words, you meet somebody or you have to deal with somebody or you get a new job. It could be any, like I said, it could be anything. You get a new promotion, you know, anything. And you recognize there's an issue, a difficult situation is going on. Ask yourself, is this bearable? Maybe it may need to be time to switch jobs. You know, I don't want to get into church hopping or nor glorify church hopping. I think it's actually ridiculous. But is it time to leave that church? You know, there's been times when people just kind of stay in these, let's say, Catholic religious type churches that speak against getting out of bondage. Let's say you're in a bad marriage or your husband's beating you, and then you go to a Catholic priest. I heard they will turn you down for trying to get a divorce. So you need to ask yourself, is this church bearable for me? I need to get up out of here. My husband's beating my head in every damn night, and this priest is telling me I can't get divorced. Like, you know what I mean? Ask yourself, is this bearable, including the marriage? Is this bearable? You always in strife and like I said before, some people got to get drunk just to go home and deal with their spouse. Ask yourself, is this bearable? Ask yourself, is this from the Lord? I didn't write that down. I'm going to write it down now. Right when you're asking yourself, is this bearable? Next question is this from the Lord? And we know good and well, God will give us thorns in the flesh, right? That's scriptural. But then there's times when he does not. So we need to ask ourselves, is this God giving me a thorn in the flesh? Is this bearable? Or is this something that I shouldn't even be God ordained this at all? That's one of the most difficult questions to ask yourself. Some people doesn't think God speaks, so some people don't even bother asking God, God, can you please confirm this person's identity badge? Because I'm feeling like this is unbearable. I've tried to solve it. I've done everything I can do carnally. I've done everything I can do spiritually. I've been speaking against the spirit, speaking against jealousy, speaking against envy, speaking against hate, and still no avail, no fruit. Is this from you? Or did Satan throw a monkey wrench in my game? Like, ask yourself that. And whatever the answer is, and it should be right away, handle it just as it comes to you. If God is like, I ain't send that person your way, be out real quick. Real quick. You know, I've done that in my relationships. When I'm like, oh, man, you want to be there? Oh, wow, you love the person. But after some tussle and bustle, God, is this bearable? Is this from you? Nah, what? This whole time I've been dealing with this mess. Be out. Deuces. Does God stamp that with approval or denial? Act accordingly. Anything more, anything less is self-destructing. 4, is it more than I can bear? Knowing when to fold. Okay? Is this situation beneficial to both parties? Right? Why we need to deal with this? If this is a big misunderstanding that's getting worse and worse, ask yourselves, is this situation beneficial to me or you? Right? You don't want to force something into working. You know what I mean? Every time you're around that person, you're feeling some type of way, and you're just forcing it. Oh, this is the thing to do. This is my relative. I have to. Is that beneficial? You know? I don't want to say any names. I don't even want to say if it's a relative of mine or not. But I've had this person in my life that, I kid you not, just going around the person is irritating to me. Always has. Present day, it's still, I mean, although it's been a little lapse, it's just irritating to me. And I feel bad, but it's just always been an irritation anytime I have to deal with that person. And I just finally said to God, I was like, yo, this is not beneficial. I don't care what role this person is in my life. This is not beneficial. This can't be beneficial. Because if I even come around the person, my whole spirit and my whole aura is, oh, it's just like unbearable is the words I'm going to describe. And when I was younger, I couldn't really do nothing about it. But man, that I'm older, it is a beautiful thing being grown and knowing and recognizing when someone is unbearable. And no matter what role and what seat they play in your life, that you can recognize when it's, I'm better off never ever coming around you ever again. And I hate to say that. And that's why I said, I don't even want to say who it is. Y'all probably be like, oh my God, I'm better off if I never ever cross paths with this person ever again. That's how unbearable her presence is to me. You know, anytime I come around you, my spirit, every sensor in my body is going off to get away from you. You know what I mean? Anything that comes out of your mouth is irritating to my ears. It's some kind of lie or manipulation or deception in some kind of way. You're trying to throw little darts, fiery darts, to make me angry before I leave your presence. You want to implant something in my mind to make me want to go off and do something crazy to whatever gossip you wanted to give me and feed me for that moment. And I just said to myself not too long ago, why don't I just have zero contact? And I tell you, making that decision actually freed me. And like I said, if I tell y'all who the person was, y'all would be like, oh, you were horrible. It actually freed me. And I never felt so free and even healed in a long time, up until I made that mental note to just, I don't even got to deal with you. It's just, the peace just kind of came and took up residency in me the moment I made that decision. And making that decision was after an unbearable phone call. Because like I said, anytime the person would call, it was just unbearable. You know, her voice is just unbearable to me. Everything about it. So the last conversation I had with her, bless it, I just made that decision like if I never took one of these calls again, I wouldn't shed a tear. And it would be in my best interest never to do. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't an argument. It wasn't, not that, it wasn't an argument. It was a nice conversation. It was just irritating. I can't even describe it. I can't even tell you why. I can't even describe it. And that's what's worse about it. I'd rather be on the phone arguing than to be in the situation that I've been in for years, where me even being around you is irritating to me. I don't know if you have people like that in your life, but for me, it was, I can't even be around you, and I can't even take your phone call, because this is, I've had enough. I've done all I can do, and this is unbearable. A nice conversation with you is unbearable to me. If that makes, you know what that's like? It's horrible, especially if you don't know the root cause. A nice conversation with you is unbearable to me. All right. And I feel bad about it. I was in bondage to this person just because of the role. You know what I'm saying? Like David with Saul. He let Saul's role determine if he should kill him or not, or if he should handle him like he handles his enemies. Right? Here's a guy looking for you, killing everybody in his past that have anything to do with you, killing prophets and kings and all these people. He's killed priests and everything. Anything that looked and had anything to do with you, he killed. But all David could see was that he's a chosen, anointed man of God, and I cannot do anything about it because of his role. And that was a very, very bad decision David made, because all of these people got killed in the process because David didn't ask God that one question. Is this bearable? Is he from you? You know I'm on the run because of him, right? Everybody on the run because of him. I can't even do what you're telling me to do because of him. What's up? What you want me to do? David asked him a couple of other questions. Should I leave this place because I heard he's coming after me? God was like, yes. And then, like, everything he asked God, God answered him right away. But because of his role, David did not ask God, should I kill him? Because he's coming up on me to kill me. It's going to be me and him. Should I kill him? I'm not God. I don't want to answer for God. Perhaps it would have probably been yes. Perhaps. I don't know. He had to go. Anyway. So ask yourself, is this situation beneficial to both parties? 6, will fruit be produced trying to deal with this person? Will fruit be produced trying to deal with this person? Will fruit be produced trying to deal with this person? If not, I'm not from God. Or what kind of fruit? What kind of fruit? Bad fruit? Fruit with worms in it? What kind of fruit is being produced from that relationship or situation? Right? So that was the 7. I put my notes. Oh, I see. 7, have you considered the spiritual side of the matter? Have you considered the spiritual side of the matter? Like what I said before, did God send this person to you? Or did Satan send this person as a distraction? It's only one or the other. It's one or the other. Dealing with difficult people is, this just how this person is. God sent it to me. I can minister to her. Like Jonah going to Nineveh, those are difficult people. I'm sending you. You got it. I need you. You can handle it. Or is this person sent from Satan, like a Delilah would fall in that category, to destroy and to distract? Ask yourself that. Ask God that. Who can better answer that question than God? Can I deal privately with the problem? Meaning, who can I talk to about it? And who can the person talk to about it? So let's say it's an important relationship and God has confirmed that he wants you to deal with that person, a difficult person. Kind of like Jonah. No, I need you to go to Nineveh. I know what kind of people they are. I need you to go. And you need to ask yourself, can you deal privately with them? Privately means prayer. Counseling, maybe you need to sit down with a pastor, maybe you need to sit down with other relatives involved. Hey, I want to have a little meeting, a family meeting we need to call where I want to get some things cleared up. Like, it's okay to call a family meeting. I think families should do meetings once a month. I think a lot of family issues would have been solved had they just held all the family comes together once a month. We'll break bread. We'll sit down. We'll have a bulleted list of issues that needs to be addressed. I mean, I think that would be so beautiful. Just catching up and seeing what's going on in someone else's life, you know, et cetera. I think that would have been a problem solver in most families. And I'm talking about the families that are about love and want to get better and move forward and have a real healthy family bond, right? Yes. 9, can I deal publicly with a difficult person? A, slander issues. Sometimes it's going to be slander issues, especially in this day and age where everything is social media. You may have a relative or somebody you know, a friend or an ex-boyfriend slandering you on social media. And then you have to make a decision, do I respond back on social media? Or is that when I tap out? Is that when I hit the block button? Some people call stooping to that person's level. Well, here's the thing I feel, and this is just me, and this is how I do things. I think those that are Facebook friends with me know that. If you come at me on social media, you're going to get dealt with on social media. That's just plain and simple. That's simple mathematics to me. You come for me on social media, you're going to get dealt with on social media. Sorry. I have to clear it up. Okay? So if me and you having an issue and I see you posting on issue, oh, you know, you sidebarring and sidelining something that I've done, and I know you're talking about me, and I know you're talking about this issue, and the people that are around us know you're talking about me and talking about this issue, yeah, I'm going to have to respond to you on social media as well. This has got to get cleared up, right? I wrote down defamation of character. Be careful and make sure it doesn't get gossipy. I'm talking about if you have to deal with this person publicly. Kind of like what I just did. Like, that's public. That's truth. I'm sure half the people that know me know who I'm talking about. But because it's always been a problem for them as well. It's not just me. Usually when you're dealing with difficult people, you're not the only one that has a problem with that person. Right? But also defamation of character. You don't want to defame someone's character because you're having a problem with them. Whether it's their problem or your problem, be mindful of that. That's not what God is about. C, rumors. Make sure you're not spreading rumors or starting rumors, even hinting around to rumors, right? I put down you risk lies and you risk misunderstandings. Yeah, if you, let's say your husband or wife, that you had an issue with your husband, so you posted it, you risk this open thing with everything else getting involved. And is that healthy? You know what I mean? Is that healthy? You got people jumping in and commenting on it. Because if you're going to put something public, you're going to get public reaction as well. Be mindful with all that. It can be done, though. That's how I do mine. Like I said, you come to me publicly, and you're going to get back dealt. 10. What is the quick fix? Is there a quick fix? What can be done immediately? There's always an immediate way to resolve something, whether it be calling and being, they call it the bigger person. I don't like saying the bigger person because you played a role in that as well. Let's just say calling that person with a problem and offering an immediate solution. Girl, let's just, and sometimes the immediate solution is, let's just don't bring it up. Hey, girl, I was tripping. Yeah, I was tripping too. Let's not even talk about it. Let's not even bring it up. Let's just get together tomorrow and go for brunch. How about that? You know what I mean? Where sometimes all that rehashing is unnecessary. Sometimes it is. Let's address this issue so it doesn't come up again. Let's set boundaries so we don't end up here again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, and then there's times where you really don't need to rehash everything. You played your part, that person played their part. And sometimes just moving forward is the best option and the immediate option, okay? How can we compromise and both win, in other words? Moving forward, possible solutions, boundaries. repaying evil with good should be at the forefront of your mind, right? Yeah, I know this person, while we were estranged, did X, Y, Z, but you know what? I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to love on them. I'm still going to be here for them, and we're going to move forward. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So I broke those down in 10 steps. Then I also went back and added a whole thing to deal with that step. Isn't that cool? So the first thing was recognize the misunderstanding. Well, now I have a bunch of stuff to recognize the misunderstanding, right? The first thing is ask yourself, am I the difficult one? Because usually the difficult one, ain't it weird that the difficult one never know it's them? Are you the difficult one? Probably. Is everybody tiptoeing around you? Probably. You need to ask yourself, am I the difficult one? You know what I mean? Growing up as a kid, I didn't like nobody being friends with my friends. Sorry. I'm still a little bit like that now. I don't like people being friends with my friends. If that's my friend, back off, get your own friends, that's my friend. So because of that, I was a difficult person because, and here's my thing, we ain't even got nothing to talk about. If you was my friend, I see you being friends with someone else, this friendship is over. Sorry. I don't know why I was like that, but I was. I'm talking about a little girl. If I seen you talking to my friend, being friends with my friend, it was like nothing said. I don't need to even say that's it. You're cut off. Like that's what my mentality was. And so I was a difficult person because it's difficult to be friends with somebody. Like I can have other friends. It's okay. Like I can say hello to her and her and him and them and everybody. We're in school. But for some reason, for me, that was a no bueno. If you were my friend, you were my friend only, you could say hi to everybody. Don't let me catch you playing with anybody. You play with me. We play with each other. That's it. I don't want to hear you had a sleepover with somebody else. I don't want to hear you went to the movies with somebody else. You're my friend, and that's enough for you. You're enough for me. I don't know. That's just how it was. And like I said, I'm still kind of like that. I'll be scrolling on Facebook. When I see my bestie taking pictures with other people, I'll be like, whatever. Mind you, I'm all the way in Georgia. I'm so far away from her. But to this day, if I'm scrolling on Facebook and I see her taking pictures with everybody else, I'll be like, still like that. That's just me. So I do recognize that I, too, am a difficult person. And but the good thing about me is I have self-control. I don't ever need to say anything to her. Like, I remember one time she came, and I apologize for telling this story, boo-boo. You just like me. We like that with each other. But one time she came over to my house, and I was on the phone with somebody else. I was talking to this guy for my job. And she waited a little while till we got back. Or she had a little attitude. And I was like, what's up with you? And she was like, when I come out here, I do not come out here to listen to you on the phone with other people. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Because I know she's like me. We're like that. We like that. Like, territorial when it comes to our friends. Sorry. So I said, I apologize. And, you know, most of them are, what the hell? I was like, I'm sorry, boo. You're right. You're right. Because that's how I am, too. She's just like me. So we kind of get each other. I don't know what it is. So all this, I feel like to say, recognize when you're the difficult person, okay? You need to understand that. If you can recognize that you're the difficult one, your life would be so much easier. Your life would be so much more easier, right? Another thing I wrote down, listen before answering. Listen before responding. You cannot respond properly if you haven't heard everything the person is saying. You cannot respond accurately if you haven't heard all the details. How are you going to know the whole situation if you have peace of the person? They haven't even finished the sentence and you already responded and reacted to it. I used to be like that too. Before you can even get the words out, I'm cutting you off and I'm already defending myself. Nah, not as an adult. You want to listen before you answer. Listen intently. Listen. And if you're sitting down and you're having a powwow about the issue, don't be afraid to bring a pen and pad. So instead of you cutting the person off before you lose your train of thought, you can actually write your train of thought down. So there's no reason to cut the person off. Because some people get real, I'm like me, I get real irritated if you keep cutting me off while I'm talking, especially if I'm talking about something important. I'll get irritated real quick. So write that down. Tame your tongue. Thank you, Jesus. I learned this years ago. I went to this wonderful church back in 2006. I think she has a book on it. I got to check. But she was doing this thing called, this series called Tame Your Tongue. And I learned so much from that. Like, oh, yeah. And she was always, she's the one that actually taught me how to tame my tongue. That's why I could do shows called Watch the Tongue, Power of Life and Death in the Tongue, all that sort of stuff. Because she really, really, I mean, it was to the point where you were kind of scared to talk while it was in church because you know somebody was going to correct the way you said it. And thank you, God, for that. I'm actually doing that now with people I come in contact with. When I see people declaring and decreeing these harsh words over themselves, I'd be like, no, don't say that. Don't say that. It takes a little bit to tame your tongue, but it can be done. It's necessary. Ignore insults. There are people that talk that will insult you right dead smack in the middle of a sentence before addressing the conflict. I had an ex that used to do that, and it would drive me nuts. And I would ask him a few times, please don't do that. Like, I'm going to give you an example. We'll have an issue, and he starts off with the insult. You know what you fail to realize? I'm already in a defensive. I fail to realize something? Because you're dumb. You're going to have to learn to ignore that. If you wasn't so stupid, you would have heard me the first time. You know what I mean? That's called an insult before they even address the issue. I understand you're a woman and dealing with women. I understand you're an American woman and y'all don't know how to respect men. Like, the insult comes. And to deal with difficult people, you're going to have to learn how to ignore the insults during the time of solving the problem. I call it darts or jabs, you know. I never dated your kind before, so I have to learn how to – that's a jab. You're insulting me before you even are dealing with the issue. And there's also people that don't know how to communicate healthy, because that's not how, if you're trying to solve an issue, starting off insulting the person initially is not the way to respond to a conflict. That actually causes further conflict because it already puts the person in the defensive mode. What'd you say? I fail. No, you fail to communicate properly, and that's why we have this issue. So what's another way of this is a huge one. Like I said, ignoring the insults during problem. Talking real dry. Like, you know people that talk dry. The tone of their voice is dry and harsh and a little bit insulting. You're going to have to learn how to pull that when you're trying to deal with difficult people. The tone is going to be harsh and dry and sometimes almost cold. And you're going to have to pull back from that and recognize, this ain't even about me, if that's how she wants to talk or if that's how he wants to talk. You're going to have to deal with people with a harsh tone to their voice, rude, mono, no facial expression, no soft, tender, warm-spirited people. And when you're dealing with difficult people, their spirit is cold, harsh. And I'm talking about they can be as professional as they want to be. They told us, well, I asked you to do it this way because, like, you know what I mean? That's what I mean by don't want to dart before you address the problem. Telling me what I did wrong is not going to it's not a healthy way to communicate and moving forward, you know? Well, if there wasn't so much errors in what you do, like, you know what I mean? Instead of just telling me how we can move forward, you know? I always got to argue with you when I want to do something, like, you know what I mean? That's not a healthy way to communicate. Actually, that's a boundary for me, too. Like, I recognize, I didn't before, but I recognize that's my boundary. When I'm dealing with a person that's how they communicate initially by insulting, I kind of back up from them because I know you got an issue with me that's deeper than the situation we're going through. And that's another boundary that I was able to pick up on through the course of growing into an adult that I wasn't able to pick up on before, especially being a woman. I'm going to say women that's out there that needs to pay attention. If you're dating a man and to address an issue, his initial coming out the mouth is an insult, I understand you don't have a college education, but I understand you didn't have a daddy in your life, so blah, 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 blah. What are some of them I hear? Well, I understand, you know, blah, 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 blah. Leave. That ain't gonna work. Bring it up. Give him a chance. Bless it. Give him a minute. You're like, listen. Like I said, in my relationship, that's what I did. I said, can you not? I said, you notice how you start off explaining yourself? You throw an insult at me first. Can you not do that? Because I'm not gonna hear nothing else to come out of your mouth after the insult. Because I'm gonna turn red when the insult come out. So please don't do that. And, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was doing that. But then keeps doing that, back up and be out. And like I said, I recognize that is a boundary for me, because then I was dating somebody recently that would do that, and it was so irritating. I mean, so irritating. Imagine, like I said, it could be something so random, and this is how a person will start off. Well, if you would let me get a word in, I could. Excuse me. Nah. Over there. That's what you call unhealthy communication. And do you really want to spend the rest of that relationship teaching that person how to communicate effectively? Training, women call it training, like training that dog and taming that dog. Not me, not at 43. I'm going to need to get paid for my training. You love somebody, you want to be in that relationship with them, and you're having a disagreement about something, and you don't know how to start off or say it smoothly, honey, I love you so much, that's why I want to make sure this works. Anything that I'm doing, bring it to my attention, sweetheart. And let's fix it. Let's fix it immediately. Like, if that's not the tone, deuces, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm 43 years old. Being in ministry is already a call to deal with difficult people. Why in the hell do I want to add into what's already on my resume?
When we vibing and when we chilling, it should only be happy time. Oh, I just got to text my bad.
You know what I'm saying? I'm 43 years old. I don't want to be tussling and bustling with somebody I'm trying to spend the rest of my life with. You and me are supposed to be on the same accord. How in the hell can we be on the same accord if you're about winning conversations? You're about winning arguments. You're about degrading me because you got men that'll do that. That's called degrading. Well, I know you're used to dealing with them, like, you know, like, you don't need to degrade me to fix this conflict we're having. You know, so like I said, I'm not interested in those type of, I'm not even interested. Because I'll shut down from the conversation. I'm going to feel some type of way going forward. So why even bother? I don't know where to put you. I'm going to put you on the shelf. Where found you? That's why you're on the shelf and you haven't been bought yet. Difficult person. So, yeah, and it's unfortunate because, like I said, some people could just use a little bit of tweaking. And you always want to take that time to tweak. That's me. I'll take a little time tweak and turn the knob and make sure we can get all that distorted static out. But if every time I turn more static and more static, it's more, after a while you give up on that station and you turn to another station, right? That's all I'm saying. Turning and turning and it gets more staticky. Then I stay still. It's still static. I turn more. This station is not, we're not going to the station. Static is irritating. Right? Well, everyone, we definitely got to do, I have some more material I want to cover. The next one was going to be recognizing you are mixing a carnal mind with the spiritual mind. That's why there's a misunderstanding. Oh, my God, that is the story of my life. So we definitely have to do a part three, because if you're in this, if you're on this road called straight and you are walking and talking with God, or whether you're a prophetess, whether you're a seer, whether you're a laborer, whatever you're doing for God, we need to learn this part three, which is recognizing you're mixing a carnal mind with a spiritual mind. Recognize you're mixing a carnal mind with the spiritual mind. That's why there's a misunderstanding. Right?
Yep.
That's usually what the misunderstanding is. We are not spiritually connected. We're on two different frequencies, and that's why we have this tussle and bustle. Adjust your dial, not just my dial, and let's see how we can work. Let's switch channels. Like, you know, somebody got a walkie-talkie over there, walks through. Switch the channels. Let's get this distorted static out, because you're making clear up the static, right? Let's do a part three. I'm going to try to do a part three before Monday. Like I said, I'll be having a lot going on. But we got to do that. Mixing carnal mind mixed with spiritual mind, however you want to word it. I'll get a wording for it. Anyway, I don't want to leave any souls. It's after 5 o'clock. I got a meeting. Like I said, I got a meeting at 6:30 for the MLK. We got some things rolling out on that. So I don't want to be late, and I got to go upstairs and check on the ladies anyway. So I don't want to leave any souls on the table. If you're tired of being tossed to and fro by that enemy, by everybody else, and you're feeling isolated and alone, and you know that this, you just didn't fit in your whole life, or there's just something a little quite different about you, you're probably a lost sheep, okay? Come on back on this side. And how you do that is, you need to first recognize you are not in God's image. The only two people that was ever in God's image was Adam and Eve, and we are now in Adam's image, as it confirms in Genesis chapter 5. So if you want to restore yourself back to God's image, you need to open up your mouth and verbally say these words out loud and publicly, to be exact. Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and that after 3 days, he rose from the dead. Today, I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the purpose of abundant life. Spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with the words of my life, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. If you said those words, welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to the royal priesthood. You have just officially become a member of the bloodline. So I told the show a while back I was going to start keeping a journal of my fruit. Fruit is people that I've led to Christ. It's good to be able to look back and reflect back on your fruit. So if you did say that for the first time and you were newly coming back, whether it's coming back home and being restored back, or you said that for the first time, hit me in the inbox so I can just put your name and date in my, I'm going to say, soul-winning journal, okay? Because I want to compile that list, all right? So I can just kind of look back on my fruit and say, okay. All right, and for the rest, please have a blessed week. I'm going to try with everything I have to do part three before next Monday, because if I showed you all this desk with all these pending shows and I got paperwork upon paperwork, when God starts speaking and downloading, I'm trying to take dictation and just catch up. I have so much. I have a whole pile here of potential shows that I have yet to do, yet to study for, because I'm so backed up because I've been missing a few weeks. I should be doing shows every day just to catch up. We'll see. I don't know. But anyway, have a blessed week. And if you have to deal with a difficult person that's a little bit beyond what I've covered and you need to speak with somebody, and I say this with all due respect, please, I don't have free time to just be on the phone yabba-dabba-yabba-doing. If you need to speak with me, send me an inbox. I am available for that. If you need to speak to me, that means, listen, I need somebody to talk to about this particular situation. What do you suggest I do with this? Like, I'm talking about, you really need to speak to me because I don't have time to be on the phone. Just chat. I'm not even a phone person. I don't even like being on the phone. Just so you know, I don't like it. Ask my friends and family if I like being on the phone. No. I can't stand being on the phone. So, you know what I mean? If it's necessary, send me an inbox and we'll try to plan a time that I can speak with you about whatever the situation you're going through that's beyond what I've discussed and you need a little bit more, you know, details on what to do and how to handle that. And I can definitely intercede with you. I can definitely help you with praying for divine wisdom, knowledge and understanding, and sometimes mercy and grace. Okay, that needs to be in order. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If you absolutely need to talk to me, come in the inbox. We'll work it out. I'll make myself available for you. And only then when I make myself available. I don't have time for kicking. Okay? All right, y'all. Have a blessed week. Stay tuned for part three. Over and out.